some very confused mothers out here right now. You started the service off and you said, Happy Mother's Day. And we do. We mean Happy Mother's Day. But you're probably trying to figure out, if this is your first Sunday with us, if you missed last Sunday, well, the song by the Beatles has to do with the Bible. What in the world a song with the Beatles has to do with the Bible that has to do anything about boxing or a boxing ring? And then how in the world do all three of those things, a song from the Beatles, a book in the Bible, and a boxing ring, how do they have anything to do with mothers? Well, if you're just joining us, we are right in the middle of a very short study on the book of Jude, one of the smallest books in the Bible. And if you would go on and turn there with me, pull your Bibles out. It is the second to last book in their Bible. It is the book right before Revelation. So if you go to at the very back of your Bible and start turning forward, you'll see it. If you get to any other book past Revelation, you've passed it. It might just be one page in your Bible. It might be spread out across two pages. Very small book in your Bible. The book of Jude. Now, the book of Jude, to be able to connect it to the song, there's no real connection to the song. The connection really is just the song says, Hey, Jude. We thought that would be a cool name for a series on Jude. So really, that's the only connection, is it, that Paul McCartney was singing a song to Julian Lennon, is that correct? John's son, and he called him Jude. That was his nickname. And so just so happens that the nickname that Paul had for, or John and Paul, I guess, had for Julian was the same. Get it right. Okay, I got it right. Okay, got my Beatles experts over here checking up on me. Got to be right on this. They won't trust my knowledge on Bible if I don't know Beatle trivia. But that just happens to have the same name as a guy in the Bible who wrote a book in the Bible named Jude. So there's the connection there. Now, to connect the boxing ring and all the images of boxing, the book of Jude is about contending for the faith. It's about getting in the ring. It's about getting dirty. It's about getting bloody. It's about getting involved. And that we're in a battle here, and sometimes we forget about that. And in boxing rings, MMA, I won't bring up wrestling, that's all fake anyway, but but in a boxing, that's not fake. Boxing's not fake. And MMA, definitely not fake. All right, now you guys, you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking to MMA, mixed martial arts. Okay, 10 times more bloody than boxing. And they're an octagon, which gives you, I don't know what the advantage of an octagon over a square is, but more sides, okay? I don't know if that makes it more intense. So, but you've got this guy in the corner that when the fighter, when the person that's been out in the ring, when he gets a break in between rounds for a few moments, he comes to the corner and he gets attended to by a man called the Cut Man. That's what they call him. And this guy, he needs no medical experience whatsoever, no degree. If you want to become a cut man, you don't need any college experience, okay? So if you want to skip college, go and take care of these fighters, you can do that. Now, if I were a fighter, I'd kind of want someone that had some medical knowledge to be my cut man. But if the medical technicians at a boxing ring or an MMA event, they have medical knowledge, but not the cut man. His job is simply to patch the fighter up the best he can. When he just wipes his face with a cloth, figures out where the blood's coming from. He goes in there with a kind of a big Q-tip looking thing that's been dripped in a formula of adrenaline. And the adrenaline goes into the blood vessels and closes them up real quick so it doesn't bleed as much. And he smears Vaseline on them so that, you know, the punches will kind of glaze off his face a little better. Helps to build a quick seal. He's got this little, and you guys are wondering what in the world this has to do with Mother's Day. All right, he's got these little metal or steel pieces of equipment that he keeps in ice so that he can keep the bruising and the swelling down. So he's got this thing straight from the ice, a metal piece of thing right on the fighter's face, close things up, gets them back together. His job as the cut man is to get the fighter ready to go back for another round. He's bandaging, he's taking care of all the blood, all the bruises, all the stuff. Now mothers are sitting here thinking, some Mother's Day message. Because typically moms don't like the violence. Now, every once in a while, you'll find a girl or a female that likes to go to a movie where people are getting blown up. Most of the time, women go to movies where people are getting blown up because their man wants to go see the movie. Right, women? Yes, on a general basis. Generally, women desire, moms desire, things like mercy and peace and love. Now, that sounds more like a Mother's Day sermon, doesn't it? Let's write those things down. Typically, a mother's wishes are for mercy and peace and love. Am I hitting the mark, mothers? Am I on now? Are we together? We're going to bridge the gap here in a little bit. We're going to spend the next 25 minutes bridging this gap and understanding what in the world a cut man has to do with Mother's Day. See, mother's wishes are for that. If you've turned to Jude, let me catch up with you. I got to flip there myself. Jude opens his book with this very maternal statement. It's actually a little different than some of the entrances in the other letters in the Bible. He says, first of all, he introduces himself, Jude, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, and he talks about those who he's writing to, those who are Christians, basically is what he says. Then down in verse 2, he says, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Mothers, look at you, you've got a connection with Jude. Because his desire for his readers, his desire for those that were going to be receiving this message, he desired peace and mercy and love. He desired those things for them, just like mothers do. Just like mothers want these things for their children. Just like mothers want these things for their husbands, for the man in their life. And so there's a connection there. So moms, are we starting to feel it a little better? A little better with Jude. Okay, I can connect with Jude because Jude's kind of a violent book. It's contending. Get in there. And that's where he goes next as he continues into this. In verse 3, he says, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share. So Jude's saying, I really wanted to write to you about happy things. I wanted to write to you about the salvation we share, about the mercy that we've received from God that saved us from our sinful selves. I wanted to write to you about the peace that comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how that peace surpasses all understanding. And that peace can be yours. And for those that he's writing to that are Christians, he wants to be able to write and share about these things and celebrate that peace of commonality that they have with each other. He wants to write to them about the love that God had for us that he showed through his son as he sent his son to earth to love us and to die for us. He wanted to write about those things. He wanted to share about those things. Very maternal. He said, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. His plans changed. Here's his reason. He said, for certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of God, the grace of our God, into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So he said, I wanted to write to you about these things. I wanted to write to you about peace and mercy and love, but he felt he had to urge them to contend for the faith because he realized something that all mothers realize, that all people realize, but we're kind of focusing on mothers. And the reality of the ring is that your loved ones are in the ring. I'm not sharing anything new with you. That's a fact. You know it. That's the reality of the ring. And the reality of the ring is that they will get hurt. I think that reality is a little tougher on a mom than a dad. Just on a general basis. I don't know if it's something different between testosterone and estrogen or that maternal bond that you gain through those extra 9 months that we kind of miss out on. I mean, yeah, sure, we get to reach over and feel it, but it's not growing and living inside of us, not like you guys. But I think that's a little tougher on a mom to see those that they love in the ring, to see them getting busted up, mangled, to know that godless people are slipping into their lives and hurting them and causing chaos. People that stand against things that you stand against. Now, the goal of this series is to take families, and sometimes your house looks like a boxing ring. Because you got mom in one corner and you got dad in the other corner. And it's not a happy Mother's Day when that's the case. That might have been the case on the way to church. That might have been an argument this morning at the house as you were getting dressed. Or maybe it's mom and dad and you got the united front against you. It's tag team. Okay, we're back to wrestling, but that's fake. But we got kids and this is real. Because you got mom and dad against the kids, and it's a battle, it's a match. Our goal of this whole series is to gather up the whole family and bring them into one corner, because that's where you belong. And in order to do that, you have to realize what this corner looks like to make sure that you don't find yourself there. So moms, I want to encourage you. I want to urge you to remember your corner. Remember what corner you stand in. And you got to look at the traits of the other corner. Because moms, it's really easy to fade from one corner to the next and not even realize it until you're in this corner with gloves up and you're in a fight and you hear the bell ring and you realize, what am I doing in this corner and my husband in that corner? What am I doing in this corner and my kids in that corner? And so Jude tells us what these people look like down in verse 11. He says, woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. All right, that's taking the way of Cain is one Old Testament story. We're going to go back and look at these. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. That's a second story. And they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Three stories there. Jude brings back to their memory, as they know the scriptures and they know the history of what's happened. The first story talks about Cain, and a lot of us know the story of Cain and Abel, one of the very first stories in the Bible. Violent story. Cain is jealous because Abel gives God a better sacrifice. And so what does Cain do? He kills him. You talk about violence. This is a violent book. I've got a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I'm trying to be careful what I expose them to, but they're boys. I mean, they eat their peanut butter sandwich into the shape of a gun and shoot each other. You know, they're boys. So, you know, why keep them away from the great Star Wars cartoons where people are getting shot and slashed up by lightsabers and whatnot? So I try to be careful on that. And one day as they were going down for their nap, Isaiah was in his bed and Judah was in his bed, and my oldest, my 3-year-old, starts saying to my 2-year-old, I will kill you in the name of God. I thought, man, I don't know if they ever got into it. My money'd be on Judah. But anyway, he's a scrapper. But Isaiah's saying this, and he keeps saying it, and I'm thinking, oh, what have I done as a dad? What have I exposed him to that's so violent that he's... And then I realized he's paraphrasing the story of David and Goliath. I come at you in the name of God, and he kills him. He kills Goliath. The most violent thing I heard my son say came out of God's word. Not from the video games, not from the movies, not from the cartoons, but from God's word. God's word is about contending. It's about fighting. And sometimes it gets bloody. Sometimes it gets messy. And mothers, it's so important to make sure that we're not the ones, and I'm saying we, that you're not the ones. I'm not a mother. I can't say we. That you're not the ones that are causing the blood. They're causing the bruises. They're causing the hurt, the pain. So we're going to take a moment and just get real honest with ourselves. And if I were a mother, it would be a whole lot easier to share these things because I'd be in the same boat with you. But just take it straight from God's word, because God knows, he knows you. So Jude brings up these three stories. The first story is about Cain. And so that's a story that illustrates jealousy and the dangers of jealousy. Jealousy is such an easy thing to creep into your lives, moms. You see the other kids and they've got this, or they've got a certain talent, or they've made it so far. They're getting praise from the teacher. They're getting praise from the coach. And you're jealous because you're a mom and that's your kid and they should be getting the praise and they should be getting. And the whole time you're thinking this, my kid should get the praise. My kid should be out there. My kid should get the honors award. My kid. And before you know it, you've gravitated to the other corner because you've let jealousy into your life. And what you do with that jealousy is you start pushing your child to do things that they really shouldn't be doing with motivations that they should never have. That jealousy can move you into greed, and that can break up some things. And that's the second story, deals with greed. It talks about Balaam rushing in to profit. He's talking about Balaam's story from the Old Testament, Numbers 22 through like 25, if you want to go and read that later. But he's talking about Balaam's story and how he was rushing in to profit is what Jude's commentary is on Balaam's story. And that's greed. And that's a struggle that goes hand in hand with jealousy, and you get greedy, and you want things for yourself, and you start bringing this jealousy, and you start bringing this greed into your marriage, and then before long, you notice that you're in this corner, and your husband's in that corner, because you're over here saying, you know, I want this, and I want that, and I don't have this, and this person has that, and I really should have this, and I deserve more, and that all that pressure's on the husband to do something to earn more, to get a second job, or to do anything, the whole time you're chipping away at his ego. And you're taken away from him. And it's because greed has creeped into your life. And greed is a property of this corner. It's not something that you should be involved in, mothers. It's not a part of your corner. But sometimes it's so easy to gravitate over here and you don't realize it. So this morning, as Jude exposes these things to our hearts, I pray and hope that it will be a light onto our lives. And sometimes that shows the ugly. But we need to know the ugly so that we know when we're in that corner and when we need to move away from that corner. The third story he brings up is about Korah's rebellion. That's a story in Numbers chapter 16. And what happens there is Korah gets a group of people and they rebel against Moses. Moses was God's appointed leader over the Israelites. And so Korah gets a group of people to rebel against Moses, which is in turn rebelling against God, because God set up the structure of how that was going to work. Moses was to be the leader of those people. Moses was God's instrument to be able to lead those people. It was God ordained. God set it in motion. And Korah resisted authority. And mothers, sometimes as a wife, that's tough to not fade into that corner and resist authority. That's part of this corner. Because as we unpack that story and relate it to a husband-wife situation, last week we looked at men, and we understand that from Ephesians chapter 5, that men are ordained by God to be the leaders of the family. It is your responsibility, men, to lead the family and to lead the family well. Does it mean you have to earn the most? Absolutely not. Does it mean you have to be in charge of the checkbook? Absolutely not. You are the leader of the family. You take them. We talked about that last week. But all too often, I see a lot of women that resist authority. And they are identical to this story about Korah's rebellion. God has set up Moses as a leader, and they rebel against him. God has set up in your family your husband as a leader. And so often you try and you resist that authority. And it's not a power thing. It's a structure. It's a way things work. It's an order. You need order. Without order, you got chaos. Without order, you got a boxing ring in your house. You know, in a car, you've got two seats in the front. You've got a driver's seat, and you've got a passenger seat. Now, moms, if you're always fighting for the driver's seat, or it gets to the point in your marriage where you just automatically go to the driver's seat, and your husband automatically goes to the passenger seat, you are conditioning him to do exactly what you don't want him to do. Because these very same women will come and talk to people like myself or counselors, and they'll say, you know what, my husband's just not doing his job. He doesn't lead the family. He doesn't care for that family. He doesn't make any decisions. He doesn't do anything. And I want to ask you, what seat do you climb into when you get in the car then? Not your real car. I don't mind if you drive home. We're talking metaphorically. Because if you're constantly climbing in the driver's seat, he's going to climb into the passenger seat. But women, check this out. Watch. What if you run and you sit in the passenger seat? He's got to sit in the driver's seat. And women, some of you, most of you have the spiritual gift as a mom of patience. Just sit there. Just sit there and wait. He'll get in the driver's seat. Get in the passenger seat. Don't resist that authority. Let God's order work in your life. Let it work in your marriage. Ephesians 5 tells men that they should be the leader of the family. Now, Ephesians 5 says something to women. Ephesians 5 says that men should love their wives, that husbands should love their wives. Now, Ephesians 5, and in fact, nowhere in the Bible that I can find, does God command women to love their husbands. Find it and let me know. I'm still looking. It's something I heard somewhere, and I thought, I'll keep looking for that as I read through the Bible. It does say, though, women respect your husbands. There's an order set up. Respect your husbands. Sometimes that's a tough thing to fight against, but you'll realize you'll find yourself in this corner and he's in that corner. And you can look to some of these things. You can look to greed. You can look to jealousy. You can look to resisting authority. And it keeps you in separate corners. That's not what we want, right? Give me a big head shake. No. All right, how many of you guys are dizzy? That just got me. It's probably the lights. I stay about half dizzy anyway, so it doesn't take too much. We want to gather the whole family into one corner. So Jude goes on in verse 16. He shares some other qualities of these men that have slipped in that are causing chaos, these godless men, these men that are damaging. They're the other corner in verse 16. He says, these men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. Grumblers. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. That's across the board. If you're a mom, your dad, your child, you're anybody, it's just not a good quality. But moms, as we're focusing in on Mother's Day and grabbing some challenges from the book of Jude, sometimes it's really easy to fall into that. Moms, women, you like to use words. Right? I'm not being mean. That's just a fact. Women talk more than men. It's easy to slip from this corner over into this corner. And you think, well, I'm not saying anything to my husband about it. I'm not saying anything to my children. Because a lot of times women will grumble to other women. Oh, can Billy da-da-da-da-da, right? And as you're grumbling, you're sliding over here into this corner and you're putting yourself right here where you don't want to be. Even if you're not saying it to your husband, even if you're not saying it to your kids and you're just grumbling about them behind their back, grumbling about them, well, I got to share with my family. I got to share about my family. I got to share with my friends. I got to talk to somebody. Look, just stop grumbling. It's not healthy because that's what belongs in this corner is grumbling. My kids just aren't good enough, or they keep doing it. My husband keeps doing this. And you're putting them down. That's not good. It's not healthy for you because what it does is it gives you a mindset of what that corner is about. And then when you come back and you try to be all happy in your home, you've still got that mindset holding on to you. And your mentality is still in this corner, even though physically you want to be in that corner. That's a problem. Drop it. Grumbling. Fault finders goes hand in hand with that. Nagging. There's a minister that I listen to a lot. I've got a number of them that I listen to, and that's where I kind of get my freshness, some different views, and get to listen to some guys that do what I do, and I listen to guys that are better than me so that maybe I can get better. And Craig Groeschel is one of the guys I listen to, and I really enjoy some of his stuff, most of his stuff, actually. And I was listening to a marriage series on him, and this quote just really stood out to me about nagging, about fault finding. He says, no man has ever crawled out from the constant complaining of his wife a better man, even if everything she says is true. No man has ever climbed out underneath the constant complaining, the constant nagging of a wife a better man. It's not healthy. And that's even if everything you're complaining about is valid. Even if everything you're complaining about is absolutely true, grumbling, fault-finding is this corner. It's not healthy. Moms, move out of it. Move away from that. Now, at this point, moms, you're thinking, you got me in the ring. You're beating me up this morning. I came here to enjoy Mother's Day, and now you're just, psh, 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 you know. It's not the goal. God's word exposes to us what this corner looks like so that we cannot be in that corner. Moms, you want to be in this corner, don't you? Come on, let me have a very feminine but audible yes. All right. You want to be in this corner. You want to be in here with your kids. You want to be in here with your husband. So get rid of those things. And now let's look at the question that I hope that you're asking yourself. And if you're not asking yourself, I'm going to give it to you so that you can ask yourself, what can I do to contend for the faith as a mom? What can I do for the family? What can I do in the corner? And here's where we come back to that guy I was talking about earlier, the cut man. The title of the message this morning, now I couldn't call it the cut woman because it wouldn't really connect with the whole boxing illustration there, but you're the cut man. Think about it, moms. When are you at your best? When do you feel most fulfilled? When do you feel like you're doing your job? It's when you're taking care of your loved ones. It's when you're bandaging their wounds. It's when you're comforting their hurts. And now, I'm not a mom, so I'm just observing. Is this correct, moms? Yes? You're the cut man, aren't you? When you look at it, you're the cut man. Your job, your way to contend for the faith, to bring peace and mercy and love into your household is to be there because your loved ones are in the ring and they will get hurt. I guarantee you they're going to get hurt. And who are they going to come running to? Mom. You're the cut man. So what can you do? What does Jude say about this? Drop down to verse 23, 22 actually. Some of his last words here in this little letter, he says, be merciful to those who doubt. Be merciful to those who doubt. You want mercy in your house? Bring it, moms. Bring the mercy to the house, even to those who doubt. They might stand in the other corner and they might say, you know, I oppose you. I don't believe what you're believing. Bring mercy anyway. And you do that. You do that through words of compassion. No, I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. No, unconditional love. Apologize. Unconditional love is how you bring mercy. And a way of bringing unconditional love is words of compassion. There are many other ways to bring unconditional love, but that's the one we're gonna use today. We were talking about words earlier. Words of compassion. How do you serve as the cut man in the corner? You give them unconditional love and you lift them up with your words. Words are powerful. And you like to use words anyway. I mean, stereotypically, according to studies. So use your words in a positive way. Use them to uplift. Look at what Proverbs says, just a few Proverbs about words. It says, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood. Blood, that's nasty, that's violent. You don't want that, right? All right, you guys want peace and mercy and love, so look at this. But the speech of the upright rescues them, lifts them up. Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword. There's more violence. But the tongue of the wise brings what? Healing. Isn't that what you want to do, moms? See, this is the positive side of the message. This is good stuff. This is your corner. This is the corner where you want to be, where you ought to be. I want to encourage you to be there. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Your loved ones are going to get hurt and they need your words to lift them up. They need your words to get them back in the ring for another round of life. You are needed, moms. We need cut women in our lives. Amen, men. Because as tough as we appear, we're really kind of fragile. And any of you have been married any time, you know that. We need you. Moms, your kids, they need a cut man in their life. They need to know that they can run to you and they're going to get unconditional love. They're going to get mercy. And they're going to get words of encouragement, words that lift them up, words of compassion, words that heal, words that bandage their spiritual wounds. Words that ease the swelling of an emotional bruise. That's what you can do, moms. Contend for the faith. Now, the other side of this is a little different because sometimes you can't be all sweet and sappy. Sometimes it takes a little, right? All right? My three-year-old, he cut himself and we went to the bathroom and he asked me, he said, are you going to use a stingy medicine? I said, yep, I'm going to use a stingy medicine. So, all right, sometimes a cut man uses stingy medicine. Sometimes it stings a little bit, but look at what he does. We have to temper this. Verse 23 says, snatch. That's not gentle, is it? Snatch. It's not a picture of gentleness. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stand by corrupted flesh. So snatch. That word brings a certain urgency that sometimes you don't have time to be patient. Sometimes you don't have time to be compassionate or to be gentle. But in those times, you need to do so with the focus of mercy and of peace and of love, because that's what your corner is about. That's what you want for your corner. So do so. That's tough love. Snatching them is tough love. And how do you show tough love? We're going to go back to words again for moms. You speak truth in love. Because husbands need to hear truth sometimes. It doesn't mean you have to get on the other side of the ring and beat us up. You come to us with tough love, you speak the truth in love. We might not like it, but at least we know you're in our corner. Your children, without a doubt, will need tough love from time to time. It doesn't mean you're putting the gloves on and getting in the ring with them. It doesn't mean you have to mess up this paradigm that you come to church and you think, oh, well, that's really nice, but that's not reality. Make it your reality. Make this your reality. Grow and build yourself into a corner, because there are enemies out there much bigger than anybody in your house. And you got to get together as a family. You got to bring yourself together, and you have to contend together for the faith. And that's what we want through this series. Moms, are you on board? Yes. Isn't this what you want? This is what you were made for. This is what you can bring to contending for the faith. You're the cup man. Bring mercy, bring peace, bring love. Make your corner a corner that is a corner of unity. And you build them up so that they can go out and take another round